This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, La ilaha
illallah. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. Alhamdulillah, nahmaduhu wa nasta'inuhu wa nasta'hdihi wa nasta'gfiruhu. واشهد ان لا اله الا الله وحده لا شريك له واشهد ان محمدا عبده ونبيه ورسوله صلى الله عليه وسلم. Beginning praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and asking for Allah's mercy and peace to be upon us and upon his messenger Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم. And to remind you and I today from the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And often I believe that they have an expression in the English language that familiarity breeds contempt. That when you hear something too many times or it becomes your standard, that you take it for granted. And so we will hear these words from Ali Imran over and over again. The third surah, 102nd ayah. All you who believe, have taqwa for Allah and die not except in the state of Islam. Every Jummah you hear it. Die not except in the state of being a Muslim. Every Jummah, Allah's Messenger, sallallahu alaihi wasallam's example is reminding us, die not except in the state until Muslimun. We take it for granted. I didn't grow up Muslim. So when I learned different things about Islam, it was so amazing to me. And all of the Muslims knew it. All of the adab of the Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you know it. But a lot of times we take it for granted. So today I just want to remind you and I about these very well-worn words. And maybe to help us, you and I, we ask Allah's peace and blessings on the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam and his family and his companions and all of the anbiya and those who follow the way of Allah's haqq until the day of judgment. Ameen. Just to remind us for a minute. In the hadith of the Arba'een of Imam An-Nawawi, and before I say any more, really, I believe that our time, bi'idhnillah, we need to take a look at a new Arba'een for our time and our place. Because there are issues that are being presented today that did not exist in the time of Imam An-Nawawi, but Rahim al-Alik, he reminds us in the second of this Arba'een, these 40 hadith, he says, upon the authority of Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anh, we were sitting with the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam one day, and a man appeared to us, and his garment was exceedingly white, and his hair was exceedingly dark, and there were no signs of travel upon him, and none of us knew him. And he sat in front of the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and he rested his knees by his knees, and he placed his hands on his thighs. And just for those of you who love hadith literature, scholars are still arguing whether his hand was on the thigh of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam or whether his hand was on his own thigh. As if somehow or other that's really important. But the man said to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, "Tell me about Islam." Most of us, subhanAllah, we would say, "Oh, that's easy. We know Islam." The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam replied to him, "Islam is to witness that there is nothing worthy of worship except Allah and Allah alone, and to bear witness that Muhammad is his messenger, to establish the prayer, to give zakat, to fast in the month of Ramadan, and to perform the pilgrimage to the house once in your life if you're able." And we are coming upon the period now of Hajj. The man replied to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, "You have spoken truthfully." Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu, he said, "We were surprised that the man would answer in that way." And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the man asked, "Alhamdulillah, tell me about Iman. What is faith?" Sheikh Al-Hanouti, he would shoot me if I translated Iman as faith. So, but what is Iman? What is this relationship, alhamdulillah, with Allah? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, "Iman is to believe in Allah, his angels, his books, his messengers, the last day, and alhamdulillah, to believe in the providence, both the good and the bad of it. Allah's qadr." The man replied to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, "You have spoken truthfully." So then the man asked, "Subhanallah, so tell me about excellence." The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Excellence, we would call this ihsan. Ihsan is to worship Allah as if you see Allah. For though you don't see Him, know that Allah sees you." Now, subhanAllah, I want you to know that as a person who is coming to Islam, somebody never heard about Islam, you hear this, and you know that there are people who are actually trying to be in that state where every, not just on Sunday if you're a Christian, and not just on Saturday if you're a Jew, but every minute that you're awake, alive, you are trying to be in a state of ihsan, alhamdulillah, where you know that Allah sees you all the time. One man, he came to a sheikh. He said, "Sheikh, I came to you because I want your permission to do some haram." The sheikh, he said, "No problem. This haram, you want to do it?" He said, "You can go ahead and do it. All you have to do it someplace where Allah can't see you. Do it with something that doesn't belong to Allah, and do it in a way that Allah won't know." He said, "Okay, that's a sign that I function in a way, alhamdulillah, that I know. With a surety, they have all kind of technology now. Somebody does drugs, they take one follicle of your hair and say, 'Yep, 5 years ago, they used to be doing cocaine.'" You say, "Subhanallah, really?" "Oh yeah, they look at your DNA now, they tell you where you used to live, what you used to do, you was exposed to this and that." If human beings can do that, surely Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is completely aware of everything that we're doing. And so now if we function within that light, how powerful our behavior would be. But subhanallah, the man He asked Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when is the hour? Tell me about the sa'ah. Tell me about the hour. The Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, he answered this question different times, different places, different ways. But in this instance, he tells the man that the servant girl will give birth to her mistress. And you will see barefoot, naked, and destitute shepherds competing in constructing tall buildings. I'm not going to make any commentary. You'd make your own commentary. And when the man left, the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Umar asked, he said, do you know who this man was? Rasul is asking, Umar, do you know who he was? I said, Allah and his messenger know best, Umar said. He said, verily it was Jibreel who came to teach you your religion. My reminder to you and to myself. And if you don't think it relates to you, go and tell it to somebody who's not here that you think needs to hear it. That alhamdulillah, to focus our lives every minute of every second of every hour of every day of every year of every month. Subhanallah, consumed with the idea that we want to live and die only perpetually in the state of Islam. There are no vacations. There's no exceptional times. Well, right now this is an inconvenient time, Cambies, to be Muslim. I'm not going to say anything right now because it wouldn't be politically correct. Allah reminds us, فَقُولُ نَفْسٍ ذَائِقَةُ الْمَوْتِ, every soul will taste death. So when you get that taste, what they call in English sometimes a brush with death. You're driving down the highway and a car cuts you off and you swerve. And you say, man, that could have been us right there. Ask yourself the question, am I in the state of Islam at that moment? Now, I'm going to tell you, there's some people, wa'udhu billah, not you, some people you're in the car with them, and when that happens, their kalam, if they died with that on their breath, that wouldn't be Iman speaking, if you know what I'm talking about. That when people are experiencing various things in their lives, and they, especially when you're having difficulty, but sometimes when everything is really cool. Sometimes we're not in that state. None of us knows where we will be born nor when we will die. And so our challenge is to live in a way, subhanAllah, where if Allah takes our soul right now, that we will greet the Malak al-Maut and we will be happy to be relieved of the burden of this life, that Allah might reward us with the best in the hereafter. أَقُولُ قَوْلِ هَذَا أَسْتَغْفِرُ اللَّهَ وَأَتُوبُ إِلَيْكُمْ الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على رسوله الكريم وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين ما بعد. Perhaps I can remind you and I by thinking back. I used to be the Muslim chaplain at Howard University for many years. And you know, I learned something, especially with people who have grown up Muslim. We used to have a Hajj program. We would take young people on Hajj. And the first criticism that we got is that leadership type people, Brother Abide would say to us, why are you taking young people? You know, they're young. Why you don't make a program for old people? I said, that's your problem. You see, I learned about Islam. I know, alhamdulillah, one of the seven people who will be in the shade of the arsh of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the day of judgment, somebody who they were young, they embraced Islam, and they never wavered. We have young people who accept in Islam. We want to give them the yaqeen, the certitude from that experience of Hajj. When they come back, they'll be transformed. A lot of Muslims, they say, you know what? I have some issues that I'm working on. When I come back from Hajj, I'm going to be different. Oh, yeah. You have some Muslim businessmen in the community. They could afford to go on Hajj every year. They put it off and they put it off and they put it off because they're busy making money. But they, when they come back from Hajj, they say, when I come back from Hajj, I'm only going to do clean business. I'm not going to do any haram business after I come back. I'm going to be straight. Oh, there's a lady. She went on Hajj with us. Subhanallah, I'm looking at you, Sadiq. I see you, and I'm saying, years ago, we went on Hajj. There was a lady who went on Hajj with us. She wasn't muhajjaba when she went on Hajj. She said, but when I come back from Hajj, everybody will expect me to be muhajjaba. I said, really? Somehow or other, the idea that death is going to wait for me until I come back from Hajj. I have a personal agreement with the Malakul Maut. Don't come for me until after I finish Hajj. I'm banking. I'm going to make it. Subhanallah, when I come back, everything will be cool then. And alhamdulillah, many people, they use this journey as a way of justifying their transformation. You know, maybe you have friends. There is a riwayah associated with the Prophet alayhi salam, and it says, you have the deen of your friends. So how can you explain to your friends that I'm a Muslim, I'm a young Muslim, I drink sometimes, but I don't eat khanzir. Never. But little whatever, sometimes, no problem. See, really? By the way, I'm as a person who's old enough to know, I'm telling you, we have Muslims like this. And they are gambling with Allah. That they will allow, they'll be allowed to perform Hajj so they can clean up everything before that they used to do. Subhanallah. It is a transformative opportunity. And if you have never made Hajj, first, make the niyyah, O Allah, every time the season of Hajj come, O Allah, invite me to your house. Don't ask how. Just say, Ya Allah, invite me to your house. I want to go for Hajj. Because it is narrated that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that Allah will forgive all of your sins, the minor and the major, if you perform a perfectly acceptable Hajj Mabrur. I'm inviting you, alhamdulillah, and al-amal bin niyat, every deed is based on its intention. Make the intention, whether you have the money, whether you have the time, whether you have the whatever, subhanallah, make it. Allah may open a door and invite you in. I know, because my first Hajj, that's how I went. They just called me and said, "You won't go for Hajj?" I was like, "Of course." They said, "You invite. Allah invited you." I'm like, "SubhanAllah," just like that. You never know. There's a sister in the message, somebody called and said, you a new Muslim in our community, go on Umrah with me. My family's going. Somebody had a ticket, they can't go. You're in. SubhanAllah. But make the niyyah in this season, "Oh Allah, open the door, SubhanAllah, of your house to me, that you might accept me and forgive me of my sins." I want to tell you a short story about a college student that we knew. College student. This college student, he thought he had time, you know. He could play around a little bit. Oh, he goes to Juma, no doubt. SubhanAllah, he prays. Friday night after the halakha, they go hang out a little bit at the club. They wind up at maybe someplace like Zaki's at 2 o'clock in the morning. They say, "Why go to sleep? We might have just stay up till Fajr. We'll work off whatever substance we've been exposed to." Maybe sometimes, you know, they meet nice girl somewhere. She not Muslim, so she don't really know. Hang out with her for a little while on the down low. That's what they still call it, that? On the down low. Wallahi, I'm telling you, we meet them here. Because the parent will come and bring the child and say, "Look, my daughter has a problem. Can you help us? We need a fatwa to fix her problem," if you know what I mean. Oh, yeah. But SubhanAllah, I remember we had a halakha every Thursday night, and we would invite young students to come. Some of them been Muslim all their lives. Some of them just took Shahada. Imam Siraj was the teacher. And so one of the students, he's trying to get his friend out of haram. So Hussein, he says to him, "Imam Siraj, if someone is a Muslim and they're doing haram, are they still a Muslim while they're in the haram? They're doing the act of haram, are they Muslim or not?" Imam Siraj's opinion, he said, when they're in the act of haram and they know it's haram, if they die like that, they're not Muslim. One or two of the students, I think, if you could see them conceptually, they fell on the floor. They have that like LOLRO something something on text messaging. If you could see their spiritual response, they were falling on the floor in agony, saying, "Oh, wa'udhu billah, if I die in that state, I'm not a Muslim. I don't know if it's worth that. I'm always relying that I can get out of that state and be returned to the state of Islam. But now I'm concerned. My iman has elevated. I'm concerned while I'm doing that, I could die not in the state of Islam." Alhamdulillah, that word to those young people caused them to take the challenge on the spot and commit themselves that they will never go back to doing the things that will take them temporarily out of the deen of Islam. I want to challenge you today. And if it's not you, then do what that student did. Everybody in that meeting, they knew what he was doing. He wasn't saying, Abdullah is having relationship with a girl outside of marriage. He didn't say that. But people in the room knew that's who he's talking about. Somebody is taking dope. They're getting high. And we know who they are. The brother didn't say Fulan is smoking reefer. He didn't say that. He said, if someone is doing so-and-so and they die in that state, they're driving their car under the influence of that thing and it's all over, what state do they die in? But alhamdulillah, he had enough yaqeen and enough hikmah to say, let me say this while the sheikh is here in front of the student, that maybe they might be open to change. Well, alhamdulillah, I believe that statement for those 30 or 50 young people changed the course of their lives. It put them on the Sirat al-Mustaqim. I want to challenge you, alhamdulillah. Look at those around you and look at yourself. Look at yourself first. If you're having those moments where you step into the haram zone, you have every intention to live until you can step out of it. Don't take the step. Because you know that Allah sees you even though you don't see Allah. To put yourself in that place where if there's someone you know who needs your help, that you're willing to help them with hikmah and ma'idha hasana, with wisdom and with a beautiful speech. Sometimes we like to fix somebody by just calling them out. That's what they call it now, right? I'm just going to call them out. So-and-so, man, you're doing X, Y, Z, astaghfirullah. And you embarrass him in front of everyone, and they shut down. But think about yourself first. And out of your love, compassion, that you might say, you know what? I'm not going to wait for Hajj. I'm not going to wait for Umrah. I'm not going to wait for Ramadan. I'm not going to wait for something. After this Salat, I'm not going back to what I used to do. A man talked to me yesterday. We're coming from the Islamic Center. He said a man was angry. He pronounced talaq on his wife. They have 3 kids. They live together 15 years. He's angry. He just told, I divorce you, I divorce you, I divorce you. Sheikh Al-Hanouti, rahimahullah, like he would say, that talaq is not valid. He did it out of anger. But when you're angry, you forget about Allah. You forget about Allah. When you get angry, you say things as if Allah can't hear you when you get angry. Wallahi, I've made it a habit for myself. I can't remember the last time I was really angry. You get out of control. I'm afraid of becoming angry because I know the consequence of it. I'm either going to say something or do something that I'm going to regret later. To remind yourself every instant, if you would hold back from that desire, the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they said, Ya Rasulullah, you told us that if we have a relationship with our wife, that Allah will bless us. He says, won't Allah punish you if you do haram with someone that's not your wife? Allah is just. If Allah is going to punish you for doing the wrong thing, Allah will reward you for doing the right thing. When you avoid those things that take you outside of Islam, think about it. At that moment, Allah is blessing you. When you were going to say something to someone that you shouldn't really be saying and you hold back, Allah is blessing you. When there's a temptation, Musa, something come to you and you say, I'm thinking about this. And you say, no, I'm going to go this. Allah showers barakah on you. So don't think I'm avoiding something that I'm being drawn to that maybe I like it. Think about that when I stay away from it, Allah has given me something better. Wallahi, if we could adjust that equation, put ourselves around believing people, Muslims and people of other faiths. I know somebody's saying, what are you talking about, Imam Johari? You see, when you're around your coworker on the job or in school and they're a Christian or a Jew or whatever, and you start telling them about Islam and they start telling you about Christianity, if they catch you eating during Ramadan or somebody on the job eating, they'll call them out. I thought you were a Muslim. Wallahi. So-and-so is smoking a cigarette in the lobby. They said, hey, man, I thought Muslim doesn't do anything to harm themselves but their own hand. Wallahi, I hear the journalists on the news now. They know about Islam. They start critiquing Muslims because we're in a relationship enough. They know what Islam is. They call you out. And so, alhamdulillah, being in an environment where people will call you to what is right, alhamdulillah, will help you get to the state where you will only be able to die in the state of Islam. Allahumma dina fi man hadait, wa afina fi man afait, wa tawallana fi man tawallait. O Allah, guide us among those whom you have guided. O Allah, take us, alhamdulillah, as you have taken Ibrahim and those that you love, alhamdulillah. O Allah, we ask, alhamdulillah, that you protect us and our families, ya Allah. O Allah, help us, alhamdulillah, that we might transform ourselves, alhamdulillah, to live only in the state of ihsan. Ya Allah, that you might raise the status of our iman, ya Allah. O Allah, that you would grant us tawfiq, ya Allah. If no one guide us, ya Allah, you will guide us yourself, alhamdulillah, to siratul mustaqim. Ya Allah, we pray, alhamdulillah, those who are planning to make the journey for Hajj, ya Allah. O Allah, that you bless them with Hajj mabrur, with dhamman mafurun, with sayun maskurun, ya Allah. And return them either safely to us, ya Allah, or grant them the reward of your Jannah ma'abrar. O Allah, we ask for those who are suffering, ya Allah, with difficulties, either here or around the corner or around the world, ya Allah. O Allah, alhamdulillah, that you might make their way easy. O Allah, that you might open the doors of khair to them, ya Allah. O Allah, that you would forgive us of our sins, ya Allah. Help us to set our affairs on the right way, ya Allah. O Allah, join us in our love for you and our love for each other, ya Allah. For our love of this deen, ya Allah. For the love of the Muslims, ya Allah. O Allah, help us, alhamdulillah, to put love between the hearts of the husbands and the wives, ya Allah. O Allah, put love between the hearts of the parents and the children, ya Allah. O Allah, help us, ya Allah, to have mercy on our old people, ya Allah. O Allah, this they cared for us when we were little. O Allah, we ask, alhamdulillah, that the doors of the masjid might open, ya Allah, and the message of La ilaha illallah, Muhammad Rasulullah, will flow through the streets and communities, ya Allah. O Allah, we ask, alhamdulillah, for your mercy and your peace, ya Allah, those who are suffering, ya Allah, around the world under tyranny and oppression, ya Allah. O Allah, we ask, Allahumma anta salam wa minka salam. وَتَبَارَكْتَ يَذَا الْجَلَالِ وَالْإِكْرَامِ. Ya Allah, we ask for your mercy and your peace on the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, and on his family and on his companions, and all of the anbiya, ya Allah, and those who follow the way of your haqq, ya Allah, until the day of judgment. Ameen. أَقُولُ قَوْلِ هَذَا أَسْتَغْفِرُ لِي وَلَكُمْ أَقِمْ صَلَاةً.